30 years ago, a British anthropologist and activist for Indigenous peoples' rights was working on a project to do with tribal wisdom and the modern world. One of the key questions he was asking at that time was, what would it take for us to try to live in harmony with nature or to rehumanize our economic systems? That question was asked by someone who was greatly in tune with the energies of this time frame. His name was David Mabry Lewis, and he was born under the influence of a very special energy that comes into play during this 13-day period. We'll have a look at that energy and the rest of this Trisina after I welcome you to episode 42 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. This is Marguerite Paquin, continuing with the podcast to accompany my horoscope blog that tracks the days of this calendar. The emphasis for both is on connections between the energies of this calendar and events going on in the world, and ways in which these energies relate to personal lives. For anyone new to this podcast, a brief overview of the timekeeping system can be found in episode 1. But in essence, the core of this system consists of a cycle of 260 days that represent interconnections between 20 unique solar forces in combination with 13 unique numerical powers to create a count of days that went by many different names, including Dzogchen, meaning count of days in Yucatec Maya. Within this 260-day system, there are 20 trisinas, or groups of 13 days, each of which encompasses a particular theme or special set of energies that flow through the time spans. Currently, we're in the Manique Trisina, which began on Thursday, November 11th. I wasn't able to do a podcast for the last Trisina, which was quite intense, as expected, and very much in line with the jostling or posturing for power nature of the energies in play at that time. Among the main events were the massive demonstrations taking place in Glasgow throughout the Trisina, as world leaders were meeting for the climate change summit. There were also huge demonstrations in Sudan by anti-coup protesters, a major crisis in Ethiopia with the prime minister declaring a state of emergency and urging ordinary citizens to take up arms against the rebels, and an assassination attempt against Iraqi Prime Minister al-Khatami in Baghdad. There were elections that brought some major changes in places like Virginia and New York, and we also heard that the International Criminal Court will be formally investigating allegations of crimes against humanity by the Maduro regime in Venezuela. We also saw the long-awaited passage of the infrastructure bill in Washington. And as if all that wasn't enough, planet Earth experienced what was called a once-in-a-century solar event in the form of spectacular aurora borealis displays that stretched across Canada, the result of a powerful X1 solar flare a few days earlier. That's the kind of thing that makes me wonder what the sun has in mind, since we're all working here with energies directly connected with the sun. So that is something to ponder and watch for. So now, getting on with this Trisena, the Manique or Deer Trisena, we might keep that flare in mind because in traditional Mesoamerican mythology, which ties directly into this calendrical system, deer were seen as carriers of the sun on earth. For the day sign energy of Manique, the Maya depicted this same energy as a partially closed hand holding the sun, because this energy was seen as a shaper type of force. The idea of being able to hold the sun in your hand and work with it to shape or build things. Symbolically, this image represented the hand of the great Maya creator deity known as Itzamna, who was the patron of the scribal arts, the sacred calendar, divination, and esoteric knowledge, as well as being associated with agricultural fertility and curing. The Maya concept of Manzal-ik, or Manique, meaning passing through spirit to overcome death, also ties in with this idea. This concept is representative of energies that both sustain and inaugurate or shape life. The symbolism not only reflects the original energies of creation itself, but points to the importance of maintaining balance and harmony in dealings with the world in general. It has to do with the sacred rhythm of life and the concept of respectful give and take in order to honor and sustain abundance. It also ties in with the idea of self-sacrifice for the greater good, and even the idea of offering oneself in the interest of shaping new possibilities. Other groups, other followers of this calendar, depicted this energy specifically as a deer, symbolic of the sacred balance among the forces of nature needed to sustain and nourish life. Within Native American hunting traditions, for example, there's a kind of reciprocal interplay between hunter and prey, whereby the hunt is carried out in a sacred manner with the permission and cooperation of the deer, on the understanding that the deer's giveaway of its own life will be treated wisely and respectfully. The deer gives its life on condition that nothing is wasted. Its life would be given to sustain other lives through the careful and wise use of all it has to give. Within that ancient tradition, the deer is a source of life, and thus had to be treated with reverence. Similarly, the sun is the source of life, the generative power that is central to the promulgation of life. This connection between deer and the sun and the energies of the calendar can be seen in many wonderful illustrations that show a deer carrying all the days of the calendar, the deer basically representing the larger picture, kind of harmonizing force. But there's that sacrificial aspect as well, represented through the idea of a Maya deity known as Buluk Chabtan, the god of number 11. He was an earth-oriented deity known as the Lord of Forests, Deer, and Hunting. And he was tied in with that idea of the deer's giveaway of its life to provide life-giving sustenance. This is associated with a verb that generally means to create, which by extension ties in with the generative powers of this energy. The overall meaning relates to such things as change, inspiration, and regeneration, which involves effort. So the suggestion is, to get the results you want, there has to be give and take, with an emphasis on balance, finding ways to move forward in a harmonious manner. So let's look at where we are right now with regard to all of this. First, the pandemic. I did include a few statistics related to this in my horoscope blog on the Tresina, but let's look a little closer. The first time this Tresina was in place in association with the pandemic was in June of 2020, so almost a year and a half ago. When this Tresina began at that time, in early June, there were just over 7 million coronavirus cases worldwide, and just over 2 million in the U.S. The global death toll at that time was just over 400,000, with over 100,000 of those being in the U.S. New York was really the epicenter at that time with nearly 400,000 cases. But as we all know, there was really no federal leadership at that time. There were no vaccination programs, and the situation was really out of control. By the end of the Tresina in mid-June last year, some 2 million cases had been added to the global total. So that was pretty quick. Now, fast forward one cycle to this past February. So that was the next time this Tresina was in place. And we can see that by then, just over 113 million coronavirus cases had been registered worldwide, including nearly 30 million in the U.S. By then, the death toll there had climbed to over 500,000, five times the number from one cycle, 260 days earlier. Fast forward one more cycle to one Monique on November 11th of this year, just a few days ago, and we see the global total at over 252 million cases. And there have been over 5 million deaths globally. The U.S. alone is rapidly heading towards 48 million cases, with over 90,000 new cases registered this past Friday, November 12th. So let's just think about that for a moment. Even with vaccinations available, the U.S. registered over 90,000 new cases on Friday. Again, two cycles earlier, 520 days ago, New York had nearly 400,000 cases after about 5 months of dealing with it. But just 2 days ago, the U.S. registered over 90,000 cases on that day alone, and close to 780,000 people have now died from it in the U.S. And despite all the strides forward in terms of how to stop the spread, what we have been seeing is a tremendous amount of resistance in terms of following safety guidelines. It's become more like World War C, Just yesterday, it was reported that half of all infections globally are now in Europe, with the highest levels since April of 2020. In some cases, the highest levels since the beginning. And as the World Health Organization's Director General just pointed out, this surge in Europe, now referred to as the start of a fifth wave, is another reminder that vaccines alone do not replace the need for other precautionary measures. The UK and Russia have been particularly problematic as they have both registered 30,000 to over 40,000 new cases per day, every day, throughout the last decennia, with Germany just surpassing 50,000 per day. Germany's case total has just hit 5 million today. Russia just surpassed 9 million. The UK is over 9.5 million. Brazil, close to 22 million. And as I said, the US now near 48 million. It's all quite unfathomable. So as we work through this, Monique Tresina, at this time it seems that we are really looking beyond local circumstances now. In so many ways, it seems that we all have to look at the global picture and think and act in ways that are for the greater good, not just to serve personal or local interests. Sacrifice and reconciliation are really the name of the game at this point. People really need to decide on whether they're going to be part of the problem or part of the solution. And a great many people are going to have to change their behaviors and ways of thinking if there's ever going to be any kind of reconciliation or solution. I mentioned in the horoscope blog that one Monique, the first day of this period, marked three cycles exactly since the opening of the UN's 2019 Climate Action Summit, where Greta Thunberg and others filed a formal complaint with the United Nations over government failure to uphold obligations related to addressing climate change. She and thousands of activists have been giving it their all in terms of pressuring the Glasgow summit to take meaningful action with regard to climate change issues. And today, as I record this, it is 3 Muluk, an activation energy associated with water and purification. And by the way, today in the Northwest, there is an atmospheric river descending on us. It's pouring out there. Today, on this watery day, world leaders signed off on a new climate change agreement, having reached consensus on a number of key actions, apparently having broken ground on creating a worldwide consensus to transition away from fossil fuels and find new ways to cut emissions. Since we're told that emissions need to fall about 45% by 2030 to give the world a chance of limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius by 2100, that's 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, this is a tall order. And there has been some last-minute waffling on the agreement. But we shall soon learn about what they really are proposing. Apparently more than 100 countries signed a pledge at the summit to cut methane emissions by 30% by 2030. Another coalition of countries agreed to halt deforestation by 2030. Including the heavily forested nations of Brazil and Russia. Even China and the U.S. have agreed to work together on this. But the issue of how to help developing countries still seems up in the air. Much more needs to be done in this regard, including with regard to that issue of phasing out fossil fuels. That question posed by David Mabry Lewis that I mentioned at the beginning, what will it take for us to learn to live in harmony with nature or to rehumanize our economic systems, is even more relevant now than when he said it 30 years ago. We'll get back to him in a moment. First, we see that a number of important things will be happening on Monday, which is Five Xuan, Five Monkey. Monkey is a very creative and sometimes mischievous kind of energy, often referred to as a time weaver type of energy that can bring about change through innovation. That will be in place as President Biden and President Xi of China meet in a virtual summit with the goal of resetting or reweaving bilateral ties. On that same day, a signing ceremony will be held at the White House for the historic and badly needed bipartisan infrastructure bill. This is the day when Steve Bannon is expected to turn himself in and appear in court after being indicted by a federal grand jury on Friday on 2 counts of contempt of Congress for refusing to appear to testify before the January 6th committee and for refusing to produce the required and requested documents. An arrest warrant has been issued. This could set a precedent that can be used as an example of consequences that could be used against anyone else who might be thinking about not complying with subpoenas issued by Congress. We'll see how that plays out. Okay, back to David Mabry Lewis. I mentioned him at this time because he was born on 8 Ish, which comes in on Thursday. This is an energy that could translate as resurrecting jaguar, with the jaguar being symbolic of not only the earth, but also with magical forces associated with it. This special day was known as Santo Mundo, Holy World, a special Maya day devoted to the celebration of the earth and its sacred mysteries. Anyone born on an Ish day, Jaguar days of any kind, would do well to pay attention to this one, as this would be an energy ally for them, and really for anyone deeply connected with earth energies, which should be all of us, anyone interested in protecting and caring for the earth. But I mention David Mabry Lewis as an example because he was so connected to the earth and to its peoples, particularly the holders of tribal wisdom. He created a book called Millennium and a television series related to that topic, in which he highlighted many fascinating tribal traditions in different parts of the world and looked at the wisdom and the magic within them. In one episode, he spoke about visiting the Gironte region of central Brazil at a time when an epidemic had struck one of the villages and babies were dying. He spoke about how the people responded to this challenge. In his words, "It was a nervous time for us. We had not been with the Gironte long, and our meager supplies of aspirin and other first aid remedies were no match for the creeping sickness. It slowly dawned on us that we were suspected of causing it in some way, and these suspicions were allayed only when Pia herself, his companion, got sick. By this time, Sizapi, the shaman, was dreaming intensively, traveling through space and time to track down the cause of the disease. Each day, he marshaled the villagers, men, women, and children, and they danced to combat the plague. Each night, I danced with them till I lost all notion of time and space and felt myself wheeling and reeling with the starlit sky. This went on for days. How many? I do not remember. Until the cold night thinning into morning, when the dancing stopped. The dancers squatted down around their fires. Nobody spoke. They sat motionless, and I was surprised, for Giranti are usually casual and conversational, even in the middle of important ceremonies. We sat there for hours or minutes, I could not tell. The fires stopped crackling and glowed like wounds in the night. The Giranti waited. At last, a sighing movement ruffled through the lines of men. My companion nudged me. "Listen," he said, "can you hear it?" "Hear what?" "The souls of the dead. They're whistling all around us." At this point, Sizapi jumped to his feet and shook his dance rattle towards the heavens. Suddenly, the tired dancers were leaping and bellowing, their energy and confidence restored by their epiphany. I did not myself hear the whistling of the souls of the dead, although I had danced along with my companions to prepare for their visit. I had not been trained by my society to expect to meet spirits, and I had not been taught to recognize them. He then points out that, quote, "The spirit traditions of Europe are waning. 100 years ago, country people used still to talk of many different kinds of spirit beings that lived in fields or groves or springs. They rarely, and then very self-consciously, acknowledge them now. Most of us assume that this is because science, Western technology, has provided other interpretations of natural events and disease and other misfortunes and mysteries, so that we no longer need these animate figures in our explanations." David Mabry Lewis, providing a glimpse of another way, another approach to dealing with what was, for that tribe, a pandemic. Okay, let's look back again. The last time this energy was in place, which was early last March, it coincided with World Wildlife Day, devoted to celebrating and raising awareness of the world's wild animals and plants. This year's theme for the whole year, which is still in place, was and is forests and livelihoods, sustaining people and planet. oriented around celebrating the livelihoods of communities who rely on forests and the value of these ecosystems for both wildlife and all of humanity. The UN's goal is to raise awareness of the multitude of benefits of wildlife to people and to give direct attention to the threats they are facing and the urgent need for governments, civil society, private sector actors, and individuals to add their voices and take actions to help conserve and sustain wildlife. So all of this fit in well with Santo Mundo at that time, and of course, still applies. As it happens this time, this is the day when the three amigos will be meeting for the North American Leaders Summit, when President Biden, Prime Minister Trudeau, and Mexico's President López Obrador will meet in Washington, D.C. for the first time since 2016. It's also the UN's World Philosophy Day, with its emphasis on such things as critical thinking and thoughtful reflection in addressing global issues. Looking to tribal wisdom would be a good place to start. The following day, we have the high-flying energy known as Nine Men, with men being the Maya word for eagle, in place at the time of the full beaver moon, known to the Cree as the frost moon, and a near total, something like 98% lunar eclipse. As it happens, this is also International Men's Day. And it might be a lovely time to be in Thailand, as this is when they hold their traditional Loy Krathong, or Festival of Lights celebrations. This involves purification rituals to float away bad luck while paying respect to the goddess of water. At this time, small containers are decorated with candles, incense sticks, and flowers, which are floated on bodies of water to symbolize the letting go of past mistakes, misfortunes, and negative thoughts, in order to enlighten the mind and welcome in good fortune. The visionary energy of Nine Eagle, Nine Men, could tie in well by thinking of the eagle as carrying away negativity to clear the way for something more positive. As in what David Mabry Lewis was describing. Think ritualistically. And this could well carry over into the next day, known as Ten Keeb, which is aligned with the idea of the setting up of important foundations for the restoration of order. Heads up with regard to the final 2 days of the Trisena. One is 12 Etsnab on November 22nd. This is a robust knife-edge type of force that can bring forth powerful separation or sacrifice-related events. This is the 58th Gregorian anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's also the Maya calendar energy that was in place at the time of the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln in 1865. It's a kind of a convergence of Gregorian and Maya-related energies associated with these two dreadful events in the U.S. And then the last day of the Trisena is 13 Kawak on November 23rd. This is transformational storm, which can be quite intense, quite transformational, and quite stormy in different ways. Many Earth-related events have taken place under this influence. But in 2001, it was 13 Kawak that was in place, when the sun unleashed the biggest solar flare ever recorded up until then. Fortunately, it was not aimed directly at our planet. At the end of 2016, 13 Kawak was in place at the time of Havana's last farewell to Fidel Castro. Over a million people filled Revolution Square to commemorate Castro's life. He died on the ninth day of this tresina. That's nine men, or nine eagle, the energy that I spoke about. And this commemoration took place 4 days later. It seemed fitting that this would happen on a 13 day, since he was born on a 13 day, one of those knife-edged Etznab days. In 2018, a state of emergency was declared on the Big Island of Hawaii under the influence of 13 Kawak, and 1,700 residents were ordered to evacuate when Mount Kilauea erupted, sending fountains of lava into the air. The following year, this same Kawak energy was in place at the time of the Indigenous People's March in Washington, D.C., to bring awareness through speeches, prayers, songs, dances, to the long-term injustices against Indigenous peoples in the U.S., injustices that can be added to the long list of grievances associated with long-term racism in many parts of the world. And last March, when 13 Kawak was in place, there were violent clashes between protesters and police during International Women's Day protests in Mexico City, as thousands demonstrated in the Zocalo to bring attention to the high levels of violence against women in that country. So, take a deep breath on that day and try to stay calm. The energies will pass. As always, all the days of this tresina are highlighted in my Maya Count of Days horoscope blog, found through whitepoppress.ca or mayacalendararts.com. Just click on horoscope blog. That site includes earlier podcasts, information on Maya Calendrix, posts on topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, and services that I provide, such as Maya calendar-related birth charts, much more in depth than just the thumbnail comments found here, coaching services, energy tracking to help people chart their own personal energies, and personalized artworks. Feel free, if you wish, to contact me if you have any questions. Contact information is in the websites, as well as information on subscribing to the horoscope blog. I'm going to let David Mabry Lewis have almost the last word at this time, again from Millennium. He said, quote, "Humankind possesses a vast store of knowledge and experience about how to live together in responsive communities. In our times, this knowledge has been dismissed as archaic or utopian, while capitalists and communists alike focused on the relationship between the individual and the state. The project for the new millennium will be to re-energize civil society, the space between the state and the individual, where those habits of the heart flourish that socialize the individual and humanize the state. There are no instant solutions to our dilemmas, but the first step is to understand them." Unquote. through all that has been happening with regard to the pandemic, and through all that is going on with regard to the climate change crisis and the implications for the future, we on planet Earth really have no choice but to work together cooperatively to figure this out and quickly. The energies of this Dracaena are well suited for making significant progress in this regard. Hopefully, we'll see this in action. And who knows? Perhaps that intense radiation sent from Grandfather's Sun a few days ago hit us with something that could bring people back to their senses, so that divisiveness will give way to some sense of harmonization. One can always hope. Until next time, keep safe, be well. Love to you all.